If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Spiritual growth and physical growth are almost the same in its evolution. Physical growth is painful as your body begins to change and certain hormones begin to take over. And, you know, God gives you what we like to call a system of peaks and valleys. And when you're a baby, everything is kind of just working together and you are oblivious to everything and everyone. Children like everybody because they have not yet formed the basis for prejudice. So they go along in this way, and then as the body begins to change, they enter puberty and adolescence, and stuff starts exploding within them. And for little girls, it becomes extremely problematic. And when you reach that awkward age, nobody likes you because you're a bundle of nerves and emotions. And you could say to a boy, get somewhere and sit down, you're getting on my nerves, and he'll rebel and kind of walk away angrily. You say it to a girl, she'll turn around and, why am I so fat? Why does everybody think there's something wrong with me? Because she ties her self-esteem into the external opinions of people. Girls are, they have more of an external locus of control, which means that they are functioning more along what people say about them. Boys, normally, now as the sexes change today, boys normally have an internal locus of control. They don't care what you think. They're just going to do whatever they want to do. Hence, we have the rebellion in the boy who the parents can tell them specifically what to do. They don't care because they're not controlled by the outside. They're controlled by the inside. And then we reach the most dangerous time in our existence, and that's teenage years. Teenage years, there are two dynamics that you must understand. One is the sense of invincibility. That's why the military wants you at 18. There is a physical and a psychological reason they want you between the ages of 18 and 25, because during those years, you have not yet properly formed the fear factor in your brain. That's why you can tell an 18-year-old soldier to charge a machine gun nest, and they just run into it. They don't normally think about it. You watch teenagers now, they run across the street without thinking. That's the more heightened time of awareness and of themselves and their abilities, and teenagers are in a perpetual state of rebellion. And the second thing that teenagers bring is an inability to follow instruction. You can be a Harvard scholar with an earned PhD, and your teenager will turn you into a blabbering idiot, will cause you to say words that you didn't even know existed. You'll butcher the king's language, you'll dangle participles, you'll use triple negatives, and you'll promise to hit them into places that don't even exist. I'm going to knock you into kingdom come. But they do that to you. Now, here's my point. As we walk with God, when we become born again, we're like that baby. We love everybody. You leave the altar, you leave the follow-up room, you just feel good on the inside. No one can offend you. Nobody bothers you. You just love everybody you see. You go out in the street, and you see the drug dealer on the corner, and you walk up and say, Pookie, when you gonna give up this work? Everything's new about you. But then the longer you hang with Christians, you become what you behold, and then the bitterness that they have rubs off on you. And so as we concentrate on warfare, this segment of warfare will help us to focus on why the drifting away. We are not ready to go to Ephesians chapter 6, where we can have the beautiful theological discussion of putting on the armor. The armor is inconsequential to the attitude. If we were to put the armor on now, if we were to preach and teach about clothing ourselves with the armor of God, it would be tantamount to putting on clean clothes on a dirty body. Now, that is not to suggest that you're dirty, but it is to suggest that we have not yet brought our minds to the place where we're able to arm ourselves correctly. When a person puts on the armor of God and has not changed their mindset and their internal thinking processes, they become Pharisaical and religious. And so we have a number of people hearing from God, but not living for God. Now, so what we want to do today is we want to focus in on a few dynamic statements of Jesus that work themselves out in biblical text. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so what Jesus says here is that since the devil is a perpetual liar, he makes it very clear. It's the antithesis. It's the opposite of God. The Bible says God is love. That means that God can't help but love. He is love. God does not possess love. God does not have love. God is love. Are you with me? Okay, so with that understanding in mind, the kingdom of darkness is the opposite of God. So if God is love, and his kingdom operates under that presumption, then the kingdom of the devil operates on the opposite of love. When the opposite of love is no. Lust. How many times do we have to say this? It's lust. Love is selfless. Lust is selfish. Love says, "What do you want?" Lust says, "What do I want?" Hatred is not the opposite of love. Hatred is love messed up. That's what hatred is. Hatred is love messed up. It is a derivative of love. It takes love and dirties it, because hatred is still an emotion that takes all of you, just like real love takes all of you. In fact, well, we're going to leave that alone. No more psychological teaching. No more. He says, "And because I tell you the truth," verse 45, "you don't believe me." What's the truth? The truth is the devil is a liar. Now, if you can plant that into your mind, then you won't have as many battles in your spiritual life. Now, just go on ahead and rationalize this. The devil is a liar. So everything he speaks is a lie. Now, listen carefully. When is a lie no longer a lie? When you make it your truth. So when the enemy comes to you with a perversion of either scripture or the facts, and you believe it and act on it, it's no longer a lie. Now, here's how we take that particular truth and make it work for us. We use a phrase like this: it's my perception, and my perception becomes my truth. Now, that's what the more enlightened people say. You're really saying, "I'm believing a lie. I have no proof that you don't like me. But it's my perception that you don't like me, and it's become my truth. Therefore, I cannot walk in love because I believe you don't like me. I am now holding on to a liar, the devil." Now, how is he able to get through? Paul says that on two occasions, one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, after he deals with the young man who's involved in incest, he tells the church, put him out for a myriad of reasons. He's not just saying put him out so that that sin doesn't permeate the church. He's saying put him out so the people don't become what they behold. Now, this is a very critical issue. We'll get to this around the fourth week of our study, that there's a reason in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 going into chapter 7 where God says, come out from among them and separate yourself and don't touch the unclean. He wasn't trying to punish us, nor was he trying to elevate us to a position of spiritual superiority. What God was saying was, I made you chameleon-like. Now, he did it for his purposes so that when you associate with other believers, you catch their faith and aspire to their walk with God, which is completely wholesome. He makes us chameleon-like, but the devil comes in and he brings ungodly things that we will migrate to so that we can become what God does not want us to become. So you serve a God that is omnipotent, and really, he can just block everybody from coming to you that's negative. Now, come on, every parent in here, if you had children at any time, there were certain people you didn't let near your children. You exercised parental authority and kept them away. All right? Now, God can do the same thing, but he doesn't. He says, no, you come out from among them. Why? Because God knows that he can't shut off that chameleon response that he gave us. You are going to be like somebody else. Not one of us in here is original. You lost your originality by the time you reached 5. You were done being original. Which means that while you have the potential for greatness, you keep associating with people who make you a bum. And no matter what you do to stop being a bum, it'll never be realized till you break free from the other bums. Those of you who don't pray well, and there's no shame in it. Everybody can't be a prayer warrior. Now, those of you that are prayer visitors, that means you visit prayer only when you're in trouble. Take a look at your associates. Count the number of people in your life that are real prayer warriors. Chances are you won't have any, or at least maybe one or two. But there won't be enough of influence to make you pray. Prayer does not come from your love for God. Prayer comes from your association with others who pray.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3218A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Set your calendars, mark your calendars, do whatever you got to do to your calendars to come out to our Lord Make Us One 2018 Spring Revival. Revival dates are Tuesday, May 15th through Friday, May 18th at 7 p.m. nightly and Sunday, May 20th at 6 p.m. Each weeknight, we'll be blessed with a word from God preached by these sons of the Bethel Deliverance International Church family. Pastor Kevin Washington, Pastor Brian Weatherspoon, Pastor Tim Baldwin, and Pastor Jason Sproul. On Sunday evening, join us for an impactful word from our pastor, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. Services will be held at the Bethel Deliverance International Church Main Sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, PA, 19095. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit us via the internet at BethelDeliverance.org.